Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens, at the heart of Irish homes for over 40 years. Cashandcarrykitchens.ie. Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens. We design, craft and install beautiful kitchens. Cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
Email todaycb at rte.ie.
Well, it was a busy quarter-final weekend in the GAA Football All-Ireland Championships alongside the All-Ireland Minor Hurling Final on Saturday. And with a winning yet lacklustre performance for the Kingdom and defeat for the Dubs, we're going to recap on an action-packed 2 days. And we're joined by a man who had a very busy weekend, presenter of RTE's Saturday game, Damien Lawler. Hello, Damien.
Hello, Claire. Good morning to you.
Now, let's start with the football. Was that a big surprise, the Dubs' defeat to Galway?
Yeah, it was a big surprise. I mean, nobody doubts Galway's talent, Claire. On paper, they've probably the most potent forward line in Ireland, but they've rarely played together at the same time due to a massive injury list. At one stage this season, they had 21 players out injured. So getting the walking wounded back on the pitch, and they came on in, I suppose, different dribs and drabs over the last few weeks, and getting to put in a show against Dublin like that. Well, it wasn't a massive surprise, but at the same time, to do it against the best team in Ireland for the last number of years, that consistent element has been probably lacking from Galway. But on paper, again, they're capable of absolutely anything, and they struck form in the third quarter against Dublin. Dublin looked a small bit leg-weary. They hadn't hit fifth gear this year yet. They have absolutely nothing to prove to anybody over the last decade or so with the achievements that they have made. And they got caught at the finish line. They probably lacked a little bit of composure near the end. And it was like a purple tsunami hitting them, because Galway got a wind behind their sails and they just let rip. And it was fantastic to see a Gaelic football team at the highest level express themselves in Croke Park. We're all crying out for that, Claire, to be honest. And it was probably for a Gaelic football perspective, it was fantastic. For Dublin, it was a sobering enough game. But I mean, what a decade they've had.
Yeah, look, they have, and we understand the disappointment for the Dubs. But as you say, for everybody else, it just opens it up, which was really badly needed, wasn't it, Damien?
Yeah, 100%, Claire, because, you know, bravery is probably the word now that which team out there is going to be the bravest? Which team is going to go and express themselves without fear of conceding scores at the far end if they are up trying to launch an attack or two? And therein lies the problem with Gaelic football at the moment. Fantastic players, conditioning levels are never better, the skill levels are never better, but there is a conservative nature brought in by coaches over the last few years, and it's to basically concede less than your opponents. And I think Galway are well capable of breaking that mould, and they broke it against the best team of all time, you know, certainly the guys who were in the best team of all time. So no, the whole championship was crying out for it.
Yeah.
From Dublin's point of view, you know, they owe nothing to nobody and they'll be licking their sores this morning. But at the same time, I think for the neutral, it's a great thing.
And listen, Sean Cabinet then on the RTE panel said it felt like it was a natural end to the greatest team we'll ever see. Is that what it was?
Yeah, look, I mean, it is easy to say these things, but Sean probably is touching on something there, to be fair to him. I think there's probably Desi Farrell will have to decide whether he has the appetite or energy to go again. Desi's won at minor under 20, 21, minor under 21, and he's won titles at senior level as well. He now has to decide whether he'll go on. Stephen Cluxton, James McCarthy, Mick Fitzsimons, these guys, like 9 All-Ireland medals, will they decide to come back? You know, there is question marks over their future as well. Mm-hmm. Having said all that too, there's a number of players over the 30 mark, and maybe, you know, travel, have the other plans in life as well. Again, they've achieved everything in the game. So for many of them, it'll come down to an individual choice. What stage of life are they at, with maybe young families or mortgages or work? Where is their hunger? What are their goals left in the games? But I would expect, in typical Dublin fashion, Claire, if they are to go, it'll probably be announced Christmas week when everybody's off doing the shopping and nobody even knows about it. So a lot of these legends might sail off quietly into the sunset, but look, that's up for them to decide as well, Claire.
Now, you made reference there to sort of cagey play. Is that what we saw with Kerry versus Derry yesterday? I watched it. Wasn't a great match.
No, that's a polite way of putting it as well too, because the first half was a tough watch, and I think you're looking at, here's the thing with yesterday's games, the weekend's games, Claire, you're looking at some of the teams with forwards that money couldn't buy, they're so good, and yet you're probably in that conservative structure that games tend to take on a life of their own. And so it proved yesterday with Derry versus Kerry. Derry scored 10 points. That's not going to win you an All-Ireland quarter-final any day of the week. But you look at the players they had, like Shane McGuigan was shooting the lights out inside. Brendan Rodgers probably put in a performance that could nudge him towards All-Star territory as well. But they set back, and I think Kerry set back then. Neither side showed enough bravery really until the second half, when Kerry slightly took the game by the scruff of the neck, but it took the substitutes, Killian Burke, Killian Spillane, Dylan Gheeney, to come in and inject a bit of life and energy. Derry, if you're asking me for my own opinion, I don't think Derry ever recovered from that loss to Donegal this year. Mm-hmm. They were in fifth gear from the start of the season, won the National League, slipped up against Jim McGuinness's Donegal, got back off the ropes a couple of weeks ago, but it didn't really look like their old selves yesterday. And Kerry got over the line clear, but certainly not a classic and not a game that we'll talk about for too much longer, I'd say.
Either. Yeah, but you'd probably be tipping Kerry now. Well, you'd be wary of not tipping Kerry of going all the way, yeah. I'd say.
I think that's a lovely way of putting it. With their tradition and with their players like David Clifford, Paulie Clifford, Sean O'Shea, Thomas Sullivan, you know, but their knack of eking out wins in Croke Park at crucial stages of the season gives them a good tailwind. But it's the most open championship we've seen in years now. You're down to four teams, all four can possibly win it. They all have their own little issues to iron out, be it psychological or be it maybe defensive or be it maybe structural things. But it's going to be fantastic to look ahead now and see. And Kerry might have maybe the odds in their favour slightly because of their tradition, but they have not hit fifth gear yet either, Claire.
Mm-hmm. So we have Kerry and Armagh, Donegal and Galway. They're all happening on the 13th of July.
Yeah. And I think, I suppose Donegal, really, what you could look at there, what they could improve on, maybe they got turned over a little bit and maybe coughed up a few scores that they'll have to look at in training. But they had 10 different scores at the same time. And they've got Jim McGuinness, and Jim will be practicing all sorts of psychology on these guys for the next 2 weeks, Claire. They'll be absolutely battle-hardened coming down in 2 weeks' time. They'll feel invincible hitting the field. But they're going to... The scores that they got, the pockets of space that they found, the speed and tempo that they showed yesterday, they're going to need that more consistently in the semi-final and shore up a little bit more in defence. But Jim will be telling these guys, yeah, you're capable of winning in All-Ireland. This is the most open championship in years. Let's take advantage now. Equally with Galway, a mercurial maverick team that Jim and Pádraig Joyce, the Galway manager, are good friends, by the way. They go back a long, long way. Jim actually took a training session for Pádraig Joyce about a year and a half, 2 years ago with Galway. So there's a nice connection there as well. And I expect that to be a great game. I think, again, a really exciting game will break out there unknowns to itself almost in the semi-final.
Yeah, it's an exciting, as you say. Look, I know it's hard on the Dubs, but it does make it exciting for everybody else to see how it's going to go now and they run up to the final. And then a word about the All-Ireland Minor Hurling Final. So we've Kilkenny and Tip, and it's always really interesting to keep an eye on the younger ones because it sort of gives you a look into the future, doesn't it?
Yeah, to give you some context, a really bad year for Tipperary Hurling, Clare. The seniors had a poor year, but a poor year last year as well. The attendances had fallen off. Tipperary supporters, no point in saying otherwise. Under-20s got to an All-Ireland final, got beaten by Offaly. And for this minor final, it was about injecting a bit of life and spirit back into Tipperary Hurling. Badly, badly needed. A huge campaign to drum up support because that game took place in Nolan Park, Kilkenny's own backyard. They were playing a great, great team. They got down to 13 men. So I suppose to summarise it, Claire, those young men have written themselves into the annals of Tipperary hurling history now, because to win a game with 13 men for 52 minutes of that game is nothing short of sensational. Young Killy Minogue got sent off after 5 minutes, and Dara O'Hora got sent off in the 26th minute. And whatever about the second sending off, much scrutiny on the first, a very, very harsh sending off for a young player, maybe under 17, in the first 5 minutes of an All-Ireland final. But the linesman contacted the referee. Referee deemed it a sending off offence. And for Tipperary to knuckle down, to play with 13 men against a fine team in their own backyard, to come back from two sucker punch goals, it's a historic achievement, really, but it's a heroic achievement too. And it definitely has breathed a bit of life back into Tipperary hurling. But I think the amount of neutrals who stood up and applauded that game, of both teams, the level of skill and fitness shown, but really the level of composure. And when you're out there and passion and adrenaline is flowing, just to show the composure to run through the lines and not hit aimless ball up when you're two players down. Well, you know, that's probably, apart from Dublin losing, some would argue, is the achievement of the weekend, Claire, right, in the Gaelic Games.
They'll be feeling that today. They'll be feeling it in the muscles and the limbs today after that performance.
I think youth is a great thing. They'll be able to shake it off fairly quickly.
It certainly is. Now, the All-Ireland semi-finals then to look forward to this weekend coming with Clare and Kilkenny on Saturday. Limerick then against Cork in Croke Park on Sunday. Yeah. So they'll be interesting ones to watch. Would you risk any predictions there?
Well, I tell you, Claire, look at it straight out, like Limerick looks to be unstoppable, really. And that's a dangerous word to say, as Dublin found out last weekend, or just weekend gone. I think the N7 will be clogged on Sunday, so stay away from that. I think
that's one prediction you're guaranteed to get right.
Absolutely. Limerick and Cork coming up that road. And I think the city will be absolutely jammed with spectators from both counties. Cork beat them in Munster. So Limerick are going to be really, really up for this one. Limerick have always started massively quickly this season. But because of the previous game with Cork, I expect Limerick to come out and put up an awful strong showing in the first 10 minutes. How Cork cope with that will be key to how they progress in the game. Cork definitely have the speed. They definitely have the intensity now. They had lost probably four games, Claire, over the last year, but only by a combined margin of 7 points. So they're never far off it. The one little worry I have about Cork is their last two games, they're working super, they're working themselves. So can they handle Croke Park? I think they can. Can they withstand the Limerick, the grand Limerick beginning that I expect? That will be key to them. If they can withstand that, they're in the game for sure. Mm-hmm. And as regards Kilkenny and Clare on Saturday, Clare probably have to maybe hit the ground running in Croke Park themselves. Kilkenny will feel that they have their number. Kilkenny will want to get into an All-Ireland final to make it three times there in the last 3 years. But I think Clare are capable of absolutely anything. They've been very, very close to Limerick in the last few years. I'm expecting two cracking matches. And it's really, again, exciting is the word I'd use. And Croke Park probably will be hopping on both days, but certainly so on Sunday, where it could be close to a sellout. It's that level of demand is there already.
All right, anything could happen. We look forward to that, Damien. Thanks so much for talking us through it. Damien Lawler there, presenter of RTE's Saturday game on the weekend, GAA action. Back after this quick break.
Text 51551 today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.